Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of December 1, 2023. This week we pray for those who are struggling to afford the necessities of life, for the unemployed, the underemployed, and those struggling with health as they seek to afford life's necessities. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God beside you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you are angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, we are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. Our next reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There the Apostle Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 13. "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." The reading for our discussion is from Leviticus chapter 11 and Leviticus chapter 12. "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, 'Speak to the people of Israel, saying, these are the living things that you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth, whatever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed, and choose the cud. Among the animals you may eat. Nevertheless, among those that chew the cud or part the hoof, you shall not eat these. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. And the rock badger, because it chews the cud, but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. And the hare, because it chews the cud, but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. And the pig, because it parts the hoof, and is cloven-footed, but does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. You shall not eat any of their flesh, and you shall not touch their carcasses. They are unclean to you. These you may eat, of all that are in the waters, everything in the waters that has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers you may eat. But anything in the seas or the rivers that does not have fins and scales, of the swarming creatures in the waters and of the living creatures that are in the waters, is detestable to you. You shall regard them as detestable. You shall not eat any of their flesh, and you shall detest their carcasses. Everything in the waters that does not have fins and scales is detestable to you, and these you shall detest among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are detestable. The eagle, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon of any kind, every raven of any kind, the ostrich, the night hawk, the seagull, the hawk of any kind, the little owl, the cormorant, the short-eared owl, the barn owl, the tawny owl, the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron of any kind, the hoopoe, and the bat, all winged insects that go on all fours are detestable to you. Yet, among the winged insects that go on all fours, you may eat those that have jointed legs above their feet with which to hop on the ground. Of them you may eat the locust of any kind, the bald locust of any kind, the cricket of any kind, and the grasshopper of any kind. But all other winged insects that have 4 feet are detestable to you, and by these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches their carcass shall be unclean until the evening. And whoever carries any part of their carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Every animal that parts the hoof but is not cloven-footed or does not chew the cud is unclean to you. Everyone who touches them shall be unclean, and all that walk on their paws among the animals that go on all fours are unclean to you. Whoever touches their carcass shall be unclean until the evening, and he who carries their carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. They are unclean to you, and these are unclean to you among the swarming things that swarm on the ground, the mole rat, the mouse, the great lizard of any kind, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. These are unclean to you among all that swarm. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until the evening. And anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean, whether it is an article of wood, or a garment, or a skin, or a sack. Any article that is used for any purpose, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the evening. Then it shall be clean. And if any of them falls into any earthenware vessel, all that is in it shall be unclean, and you shall break it. Any food in it that could be eaten, on which water comes, shall be unclean. And all drink that could be drunk from every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything on which any part of their carcass falls shall be unclean, whether oven or stove, it shall be broken in pieces. They are unclean and shall remain unclean for you. Nevertheless, a spring or a cistern holding water shall be clean, but whoever touches a carcass in them shall be unclean. And if any part of their carcass falls upon any seed grain that is to be sown, it is clean. But if water is put on the seed and any part of their carcass falls on it, it is unclean to you. And if any animal which you may eat dies, whoever touches its carcass shall be unclean until the evening, and whoever eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening, and whoever carries the carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. Every swarming thing that swarms on the ground is detestable. It shall not be eaten. Whatever goes on its belly, and whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet, any swarming thing that swarms on the ground, you shall not eat, for they are detestable. You shall not make yourselves detestable with any swarming thing that swarms, and you shall not defile yourselves with them and become unclean through them, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourselves with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground, for I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law about beast and bird, and every living creature that moves through the waters, and every creature that swarms on the ground, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the living creature that may be eaten and the living creature that may not be eaten. Leviticus chapter 12. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as at the time of her menstruation she shall be unclean, and on the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her menstruation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying for 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb, 1 year old, for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, and he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean."
Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. What is the strangest thing you have ever eaten? Well, many people have had calamari, which is squid, and that is really kind of strange when you think about it. I personally have had some really good calamari. I have eaten some other so-called strange things. Have you ever had saffron before? Saffron is a highly coveted and very expensive spice. On a special kind of crocus flower, there are little red filaments that form inside the flower that can be harvested as saffron. Now, the rest of the flower, its leaves and petals and other parts, are toxic. You cannot eat them, but the saffron can be eaten. It always makes you wonder, who's the first person to discover that that part of the plant could be eaten, whereas the rest could not? What kind of trial and error went into discovering things like this in the distant past? How many people died as a result of eating things that they should not have eaten? What about you? What is the strangest thing that you've ever eaten? A parishioner of mine who served in Vietnam once swallowed cobra venom. That parishioner apparently suffered no ill effects. The stomach digests the venom, and my understanding from his telling is if a person has no serious sores in the mouth that the venom can enter, and no ulcers or bleeding in the stomach, the venom will be harmlessly digested. There are a number of animals that are immune to poisonous snakes. They will shake off a snake bite and go ahead and eat the snake. In the pre-fall world, all creatures ate vegetation. Whatever nutrition animals needed always came from plants. In the post-fall world, and especially in the post-flood world, the need for achieving nutritional requirements meant humans and animals would need to eat protein, the protein that came from other living creatures. If you are a vegetarian or vegan, that is your choice in life, but there is nothing that prevents you from eating meat biblically. So let's see where it says that in Genesis chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man." Now, as you look at this passage, it doesn't have a lot of restrictions on what a person could eat. The main thing was, you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. So the restrictions that come in Leviticus chapter 11 actually narrow things down a bit more, and we'll get to that in a minute. God wanted humanity to fill the earth. He also allowed us to eat animals for protein. Humanity is the pinnacle of the creation, created to have dominion over it. But you will notice that God did not want them to eat the flesh with the blood. You shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Fast forward to the time of Moses, after the flood, after the Tower of Babel, after God separated Abraham to be his own, after the captivity in Egypt, and now God is setting apart a holy people for himself. Holiness means obeying God, being right with God. And part of that also means not taking part in tainted and corrupted things. Firstly, we have the Ten Commandments, which are a guide, a curb, and a mirror for us, as the explanation of the Catechism shows us. But the laws of Leviticus show us what it takes to be holy. They go further even than the Ten Commandments. And there were certainly plenty of times that Israel shows us that they cannot keep these laws, demonstrating the need for God to send his Son, who keeps all the laws of God and is a mediator for humanity, standing between humanity and the fire of God. Think back to what happened in Leviticus chapter 10. In Leviticus chapter 11, the chapter lays out what kind of protein man can eat, or what kinds of animals a man can work with. Hooved animals that are cloven-footed and chew the cud are clean animals. These would be simply things like beef and lambs. To make a four-footed animal clean requires that they firstly chew the cud, which means they regurgitate food for additional chewing, which is part of their digestion process. An article at wildlifeinformer.com describes these animals called ruminants and their system of digestion. Secondly, the animals must be cloven-footed. There are other animals, certainly, other than just beef and lambs. For example, bison fit into this category of a ruminant, an animal that chews the cud and has a cloven foot. Other animals that chew the cud but did not have cloven hooves were not clean. I believe that part of being clean is that the animals themselves did not eat meat with its lifeblood, or these animals did not eat tainted things that might cause infections and parasitic infestations. This is not to say clean animals could not get parasitic infestations, But there are certain activities that might make animals more prone to these problems. We love dogs and cats, but there is a reason why these pets are in the unclean category. And probably you've seen them do things that you can see. This is why this animal is unclean. And these days, of course, we have dewormer and medications that can help prevent things like worms and parasite problems. Pigs and rabbits are in the unclean category also for this issue. In the water, everything with fins and scales could be eaten. Eels, crabs, lobster, shrimp seem to be in the unclean category. The scavenger and birds of prey are also unclean animals, as well as bats, which are prone to rabies. Many kinds of insects would be unclean, and the text mentions going on all fours here. My guess is that all fours simply means walking horizontally as opposed to vertically, like in twos, as insects have six legs. Interestingly, we can note that locusts are acceptable for eating, as well as crickets and grasshoppers. This is what we are told that John the Baptist ate in the New Testament, locusts and wild honey. I remember a high school teacher taught a biblical literature class, and somewhere she got the information that locusts, John's locusts, were locust beans. I asked about this, and my Greek professor set this straight. No, John did eat the insect. And this chapter here confirms that it was considered to be clean. So it makes sense that he would be allowed to eat this. Carcasses were considered unclean. That should seem obvious. If you eat anything spoiled or torn by wild animals, that is off limits. If we eat something that is spoiled, it could make us very sick or even kill us. We could get an infection that could kill us. Cloven-hooved animals that did not chew the cud were considered unclean. Cats and dogs are unclean, according to verse 27. People who touched carcasses were considered unclean until evening. Sometimes a person has to remove a dead animal. Evening was actually the start of a new day. Vermin, such as mice and rats, and also reptiles, were considered unclean, and objects which these animals, when dead, touched were considered unclean. A spring or cistern in which such a carcass fell would be considered clean, however. Now, this doesn't mean that the water shouldn't be boiled, because that water would be impure for drinking. It would make a person sick. So in certain instances, that water would certainly have to be purified. But otherwise, the water, for all intents and purposes, was considered clean. I'm certain unclean animals might be found among a person's stored seed. That is accounted for too. If the seed is dry and a carcass fell upon it, it would be clean. But if water fell on the seed with the carcass, that was considered unclean. So one's cleanness was affected by death, by things like carcasses. An animal was to be slaughtered. A person was not to eat an animal that died naturally. People were to be clean. They were to consecrate themselves so that they could participate in tabernacle and congregational life. People needed to be holy because God is holy. This issue is relaxed to an extent in the New Testament because Christ fulfilled all holiness. There's something additional going on here too, and we will talk about that. Here's the text from Acts chapter 10. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a giant sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth.
in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. What is happening here is that all the Gentile nations had been involved in all kinds of uncleanness. That uncleanness was described in Leviticus chapter 11. It involved the things which the children of Israel could not participate in. Now, a sign here in Acts was being given that Gentiles too could be brought into forgiveness and cleanness by believing on Christ who fulfilled all things. That passage says, what God has made clean, do not call common. So this text about these animals is more than just being about a person being able to eat certain kinds of animals. It's also about, especially about God making the Gentiles clean now too. Even in the Old Testament, we might think of Isaiah, as in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, who said that he was a man of unclean lips. God had to purify him. Peter, too, in the New Testament, recognized his uncleanness. It is God himself who makes them clean, bringing them into cleanness. It is God himself who brings us into cleanness. Prior to the fall, all nutrition could be satisfied by eating plants. In the fallen creation, some life must be sacrificed in order for other life to live. That means the eating of animal protein is allowed. Leviticus chapter 12 is short. It talks about childbirth and the uncleanness that is involved with it. It is in the blood that impurities are carried, waste products are carried, a flow of blood was impure. In the New Testament, Jesus healed a woman who had had bleeding for 12 years. She had spent much on doctors, and she thought that if she could just touch Jesus' clothes, she would be healed. And she certainly was. That was in Mark chapter 5. Because of that flow, she would not have been able to participate in the life of the temple, in the life of the congregation. And so that is where her healing is very significant. And we can apply this passage here in Leviticus chapter 12 to that situation. Following childbirth, a woman had to purify herself. John Kleinig, in his commentary on Leviticus, points out that pagan nations saw the discharge of blood from the womb as containing, in his words, supernatural life power that could be used in ritual, magical spells, and sorcery. The true God's people were different, and so this was a time for purification so that the woman could eventually come back into holiness and be brought back into worship and tabernacle life. The time of purification lasted longer after the birth of a female than a male. There is no exact reason given for this. Kleinig says it could be argued the longer time of separation resulted from the daughter being a potential mother at some point. The time of separation was used to ensure she did not become a pagan, with birth giving her access to cosmic life power. This may seem out there, but when you think about this for a moment, when a new child is brought into the world, that child has been given life and has a soul. God is already doing powerful things through bringing this child into the world. There is a little bundle of potential there, an entire life that will be brought into the world, live a full life, and eventually die.
but the believer dies to enter into new life with Christ as we understand it. So this new life is extremely significant. A sacrifice was to be made at the birth of the child, a lamb, a turtle dove, or a pigeon as a sin offering. The poor brought birds. Note that the sacrifice brought for Jesus was birds. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So it's described right there that that was the sacrifice that was brought for Jesus. The poor brought birds. And so here we find that law in the very last verse of chapter 12. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. On the eighth day, a boy child was to be circumcised, a full week, with the eighth day being the time of the circumcision, was allowed for until that event. Some children did not make it to the eighth day, and so that's why it occurs on that day. Circumcision was used to mark a boy as belonging to God, being part of the family of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham. I don't think there is any mistake that it involves a marking of the means of procreation. God first commanded that humanity should be fruitful and multiply. I think this was God's way of saying that those who were produced in procreation belong to Him. In the current age, it is baptism that marks us as belonging to God, whether male or female. We are washed with water, and God's name is placed upon us. This is certainly an invisible mark, but it is one that God Himself sees and recognizes. When we are baptized, we belong to Him forever. It is like Him writing His name on us, just as we write our own name in the cover of a book. This living book, this living person in baptism, now has a mark that says you belong to Him. You belong to God. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for making us your own, that we might share in the inheritance of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives life and salvation. Thank you for fulfilling all the requirements of the law in Jesus, that we too might share in the blessings of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for many folks who are struggling to afford the necessities of life. We pray for the unemployed, the underemployed, and those struggling with their health as they just seek to afford life's necessities. We pray that you would provide for them out of your abundance, that you would give them what they need. And Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. The special verse I'm going to share this week comes from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait for him. All of our verses, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture. The people that in darkness sat, a glorious light have seen. The light has shined on them who long in shades of death have been. In shades of death have been.
To hail thee, Son of Righteousness, the gathering nations come. They joy as when the reapers bear their harvest treasures home. Their harvest treasures home.
To us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given, and on his shoulder ever rests all power in earth and heaven.
All power in earth and heaven. His name shall be the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Lord, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the God by all adored, the God by all adored. His righteous government and power shall over all extend. On judgment and on justice based, his reign shall have no end. His reign shall have no end. Lord Jesus, reign in us, we pray, and make us thine alone, who with the Father and